Just give him the tapes.
So you're just going to give him the tapes?
Yeah.
Let me tell him what's going on.
Okay. Okay, maybe it's not a rush. I've asked Mark to run over to room 200, Bob, and make sure people didn't go there. You all got the signals that we were coming to this room, so we're probably okay. This is an attempt to expand a very small group of people, mostly my colleagues here, Bob Boyko. And you want to come on up and sit here and talk, too? I'd be glad to have you. Florian, you want to sit up here so that people can see you and just grab this mic? That would be great. I'll just go to the OSCOM site and tell you how this whole thing began. There's a link there called Projects. And under Projects, since I started working with OSCOM around the beginning of the year, there have been three really important things going forward. SlideML, which those of you who are speakers may have gotten familiar with by putting your slides into an XML format that can be served over the web. And that's a project that Roger Fisher from BitFlux has been heading up. And then Twingle at the bottom, a project to take Mozilla and use this new browser and underlying application toolset to build a single interface to all the OSCOM CMSs. The concept is very future-looking. It's saying, why couldn't we all get on the same wavelength and have a single way of going in and out of our CMSs by using this Mozilla front end. The third project is called CMSML. It began in life as SoftwareML, and the mailing list still is called SoftwareML. This was a project with OSCOM to define what's called the CMS matrix. See if I know how to right-click on the Mac. Who can tell me how to right-click on the Mac and open a new window? Hold it down? Nope, I don't know. I'll go back. This is the CMS matrix, which is a list of products organized by framework. Okay, if it's a Zope type tool, if it's a Midgard type tool, you can see it's a framework. If it's a Plone or some other specific implementation with its own front end, it gets to be called a CMS. Two categories, and that's what we have for the CMS matrix. Now, we wanted a lot more than that. And in my efforts to organize content management for the Open Directory project, you guys know the DMOS Open Directory project. How many have heard of it? A few. Google, you know, they repurposed the same data structures to put up a taxonomy that starts with the world, and then computers, and then software, and then internet, and then site management, and then content management. And when you've worked your way down there, you go into a thing with about seven subcategories, and I'm an editor on this content management section, and I'm looking at 550 CMSs, and another hundreds in the pipeline. People are trying to get in, and we're trying to decide whether they belong. And we have to put them into subcategories like PHP, and open source. And I say, what do we do with the 25 PHP open source products? We flip a coin? We basically need more parameters, more ways of knowing the differences between content management systems if you're going to use this as a tool to help you find out what's out there in the world. And there's a great deal out there. Tony Burns' report says there's 225 that are worth thinking about, and he can only get time to write about 40 of them. But those of you who want to go far and wide, and especially as you move into the open source area, you'll find a lot of things from one-man shops to 10, 20-man teams that you will want to study, then you need a way to do it. So we went from CMSML, we went from this CMS matrix, and then we came up with the idea that if we had a markup language that was capable of parameterizing or assigning features to the different CMSs, starting with very simple things. What's the name of the product, name of the organization, what its website is, where is the product page on the website, what is this system running on, is it a Java-based system, does it run on Windows, Apache, etc. We decided to get a list of features, rather cold hardware-like things that aren't necessarily the most important thing to think about, but helpful if you've got an IT department that already has a bias and they'd like you to know, tell me what is available in Java Enterprise class systems. So it also then intersected with Bob Boyko here, whose book had basically the thing that I learned most of what I know about content management, running in this book. I didn't stop with Bob, though, and I've gone out being an academic and bought basically every other book on content management that I could find. And we have put those onto the website. I'll show you that. Because what we're doing is trying to build a resource that will allow people to know all there is to know that's on the web. I have a hard time navigating this little Mac. I basically need another page of the same. You think I could set it to do that for us. So let's look at oscom.org one more time. Oops, and it's HTTPS. This is a very unfriendly, unforgiving system here at Harvard. Got to take that S out so it'll get somewhere. OSCOM doesn't have a secure server. So on the OSCOM site, we have a page called CMS Selection. And what CMS Selection does is to tell you there are lots of books, okay, on the subject. And we lead off with Bob, and then Joanne Hacko's book, and the others that I have here on the table. I also have intermixed in here some rather more substantial things, which are in the nature of reports, but I also have another page on reports. These are the key writers who are trying to tell you about web content management, and I encourage you to invest in a book like this when you're at the beginning of your CMS process. I've set up my site called CMS Review, which I'll jump over to that for a moment, and show you, I have this concept that the resources you need are primarily, when you're beginning the process, to be found on the web itself. The internet is itself the richest place to go. So now the question is, how do you know where to go on the web? And we're trying to just focus in on CMS Review as the place to start. So down the right-hand side, I've tried to identify the major sites around the world that are your resources. So at the top of the list, CMS List, which is our mailing list for the industry, cmslist.org. If you're not on this list, you're not hearing people talking about the advance of the subject. CMS Info, marvelous site. Joe Stewart runs. He's a PHP slash guy, and he's taken and built a PHP slash site that has about 75, I think Tony Byrne counted them last week, in his nice piece on open source fractured beyond repair, or I've forgotten what he called it. The nice feature of Joe's site is that he puts up for each CMS vendor or developer, he will give them a page where they can blog, basically, and put up notes about what they're thinking, so you can listen in on the community at work on his site. Very nice thing to be able to do, and we're trying to build CMS Review so it doesn't compete with these other guys, but just tries to support them. CMS Watch, the third one on the list, and right at the very top of my master list of places to go, CMS Watch, I think I have a little graphic that comes up for Tony's site, is the place, even before I read Content Management Bible, no, a little after, I called Tony on the phone and said, I have to give a talk to a nonprofit group in Massachusetts, and they want to know about options in content management systems, and I hear you're the guy who knows, and so I got a copy of this wonderful report, and it's not in the same price league with a $30 book, it's in the $900 neighborhood. I think Tony might say something different in a nonprofit environment, as he did for me. But this is a thing which is another type of resource, a step up from the books. And there are others of this kind. Bob Boyko has a meditorial.com site where he has a planning process to take you the steps of selecting a CMS. A similar piece of work is done by a fellow named James Robertson in Australia, a content management requirements toolkit. You'll find these under the sites or organized under the section here we call resources. So under resources, we can look at, if I can manage my little flip-flop menu, you'll see books, you'll see magazines, articles, reports. So if you were to go to reports, you'd find Tony's report there and several others. Other people in the room are also trying to reach beyond just the introductory material level and help you know what's out there. And so Florian Stahl here on my left is the author of this book called The Content Management Handbook. At the moment, Handbuch in German means you read it in German. Another German colleague has a book called Content Management mit XML, and Springer Verlag tells me they will translate this into English this fall, and maybe we'll get some pressure to bring Florian's book into English. He's already translated a large part of the evaluatory part of the work, and has it for us in English as we go to a project that I'll tell you about in a moment. The CMSML then, basic idea was, could we find properties of a CMS? If the top of the page here, you see a little thing that says list, and then search, and then directory, okay? And then the thing that I like best, a thing I built 5 years ago for a magazine I wrote for, a feature comparator, which says, if I want to say with Jennifer, how does typo 3, okay, stack up against, what was it, Easy Publish you mentioned? Now you can have a group spend a lot of time to go out on the internet and try to figure out, okay, what these two products are about. And it's not that any quick and dirty list of things on a page is going to really get you where you need to be to decide, but this is like a preliminary filter to look around at things. So I can say, compare typo 3 to Easy Publish. Now, if the vendors are cooperating and all of us are going to try to muscle them into cooperating, we hope. I'll explain that strategy in a moment. I hope I can do this insecure. He's trying to open another page for me. I will then pull up a comparison, which starts with the boring, you know, where's the site and so forth, and where's the product page. The descriptions, which have been taken from vendors' sites at the moment, frequently, although in the case of Easy Publish, they edited this themselves online. I believe I put the typo 3 in. I've got 55 systems, of which I've got 20-some vendors who've logged in, signed in, have permissions, and can edit their material on my site. Now, do I check what they do? I don't have time yet. Will we in the future? If we have time. But in the meantime, we have what they tell us about the product. So you can see these look a lot alike, except that typo 3 says they want to be considered in the enterprise class. They'll scale big, they think. And they also I believe here, have checked framework. I don't know whether that's correct, but we're going to leave that to experts who will come in and help you look at this thing later. They say they do business in all parts of the world, which is a nice option for organizations to say we're worldwide or and so forth. You get the basic idea. Now behind this lies CMSML itself. CMSML itself is a simple XML version of typo 3. Is that the one I just clicked on? Right. So what we've got here is an XML formatted report, which can be taken by anybody and do whatever they want with it. The entire website is put under a Creative Commons license so that this material can just basically go out there and someone else may say, hey, Bob, thanks for all the drudge, but listen, we've got some smarts and we can do analytical commentary. Well, whether they're right or wrong will be up to them, but we're in the process our goal is to provide the information for people. Now, I guess I can just close that window and take us back and that's, again, the XML. Have I lost my... Oh, that's not a PC. I guess I have to do this. Yeah, so I'm back here. Now, my son Derek is so enthusiastic about semantic web, even though almost everyone who I respect their opinions says semantic web is going nowhere at the moment that they can see, so I'm a little concerned, but Derek's a smart young man. He's a big believer in RDF, and although we don't do anything to consume any RDF here, as you would take a feed, we do export RDF in case someone writes a semantic smart engine that says, oh, I'm a computer and I know how to read RDF and I know how to compare these things called content management systems. So RDF doesn't look very different from XML. It generates an XML because XML is what we call the serialization of the XML data. It's how of the RDF data. RDF data basically consists of statements about things. This product has the feature of a price, and the price has a value of free, or $10,000. Those things are easy to say in RDF, and if you say them in RDF statement form, other machines can read the statements. And someday in Tim Berners-Lee's great dream of the future of the web, the machines of the world will draw inferences about these things and come back and tell us things we didn't know. Well, I remain a skeptic, my son's an enthusiast, and I've got my fingers crossed that it'll happen. We, in the meantime, export RDF. Just trying to be good CMS citizens and using tools we're all hearing about, in this process of reflecting on CMS itself, it's like I feel we want to practice what we preach. If you believe XML, believe the RDF, why don't we try to do it and see whether anybody gets any use out of it. Finally, let me go back to that, if I can, to the page. I want to access a thing which is really cutting-edge knowledge management as opposed to I think it deserves to be called knowledge management. It's the thing we call our directory. First, let me, though, show you the search capability. The search capability goes to the site and says, all right, here's a blank form, okay? This is the form that the vendors have to fill in, okay? And I'll scroll over so you can see some of the things. But the basic concept here is a vendor comes to this and says, I'm GNU Linux, you know, I'm not Microsoft. I'm not Mac, I am Unix. So they can click on things as in order to describe their product. Now when they're done describing their product, I can then go in a query engine mode where you just look at this big form, and someday this will be hundreds of features, possibly, okay? And you can say, look, I want Australia. It has to be in Latin America. Or I need it under $10,000. Or, listen, I need PHP, please, you know. And whatever you then pick, for whatever reason you have, and we're not trying to tell you what to do, but where I can parameterize something and make it a feature, I'll give it to you, and you can just say, click one thing like PHP, and you go back to the top, except my window is a little small, and tell me, search for anything that has PHP, and I should get a report back. And this is what I mean by giving you a tool that helps you do a first cut. If you have any reason, whatever, you put in your search criteria, back come those systems which meet that particular criterion or any group of them, okay? And finally, I want to show you the directory functionality. There's a wonderful Indian scientist, scientist is I think a good term because he was a very technical character named Ranganathan, Shimali Ramamrita Ranganathan, revolutionized the library management in the world and went in a big step beyond the Dewey Decimal System or the Library of Congress cards that you guys have got in your libraries and came up with this concept that whenever we describe things, we have to describe them by coming up with a property or an aspect of a thing. What's its color? And different properties of things are not necessarily at all associated with the others. They're randomly connected. And what we do when we build a taxonomy of books, for example, and say, in the University of Missouri Library, we're going to put the biology books in this shelf with this number, and or, you know, Florian's book has to be located at that spot on the shelf. That's what's going on in my Open Directory project at DMOS and Google. It just does not work in the real world. The real world is, I didn't want to know content management, site management, that particular thing, or PHP. I wanted to know, does this know anything about metadata? And I want that, that's the first thing I'm worried about. So I want to go in, and what Ranganathan came up with was the idea that these different things that describe anything in the world can be called facets. And you can say that a thing like a color could be a facet which has multiple sides. It has different values that it can be. And you might want to take this facet of a content management system, like its operating system, and make that first. Whereas my Google site, the DMOS site, can't do that for you. It always does it the way it's been built to do it. So we have implemented what's called a faceted directory. And the way the faceted directory works is you simply choose from among those things that the XML decides are facets. In order to be a facet, it has to be multi-valued. If it's a text string, it's not going to show up in here. And you simply drop down, and back to you comes a list of those things that describe a CMS that have discrete values. So what should we choose? Who wants to make this directory? What do we go?
Demos.
Demos. Do they have demos? Very strange. I never would have put that one on top. I have to cycle to the server, and basically it goes back and it reorganizes the whole database, and it says, okay, this is what I know under demos. Let's drill down from here. If you were to do nothing else, you would see that this is the way we talk about the demos within the system. Who wants to pick a second one? You know, is it proprietary? Is it open source? I mean, that would be a kind of fitting one, right? So we would add license. And we're now building our own look at 55 content management systems. Now it says license is second. Let me pick just one more so we don't go too deep. What's the third one we're interested in? Computer platform? Did license? Say computer platform. I add one more. Now, as I go ahead and work with these, this is sort of versatile. I can just decide, for example, here that, oh, I should have put computer platform at the top of my directory. And so you can type in a 1, and it'll reorganize itself and send the signal back to the system that we want a computer platform, and then demos, and then licenses, you see. And it should reorganize itself in a moment. Now I put computer platform up to the top. Now this type of flexibility is what Ranganathan originally imagined could be the way the world would be organized. And if it was a dream that needed computers and the internet really to be made possible. So we really have that right now. Now at this point, let's see what I can do. A couple of things. I can click on OPML and get Dave Weiner's outline OPML version of this and export it, or just look at it, and Dave's tool is a wonderful tool for manipulating information. Or I can go over here and say, well, tell me what have you got for me inside the GNU Linux box? And now we're starting to walk down the way we do with our directory project. But instead of me deciding what comes under what, you have decided. So you see, I just went down to computer platforms, and at the top here, it says I'm at the top of the directory like Google, now I'm at GNU Linux. And now at this level, I've got demos next. So if I want to drill in, do you want an online demo, say? Let's go in there. And we're going to see if anybody has clicked to say, we have GNU Linux, and we have an online demo, and let's pick the GPL, say. Because that is the choice of licenses that people have picked to say, we have demos, we have GNU Linux, and there are the four. And my goodness, Mark Laporte's Tiki popped up, J.T. Smith's Web GUI, Easy Publish, and I'm sorry, Jennifer, we didn't get the typo three people to say we're in this category. But that's the way this thing works. It might not even be right yet, okay? But you get the idea. And thank you for being in here, because we're a working group trying to build this tool and then trying to figure out a way to make sure the data is sort of okay that's coming back. For that, we're probably going to depend on community feedback and criticism and, you know, I looked in there and I didn't find something I wanted to be there, or I think the manufacturer or the vendor is misstating, and all of that kind of thing. So that's the mechanism, the main workings. The politics or the bigger picture Jennifer's just describing, which is always his deal with other people, goes like this. We've built this to be information that can be fed out and syndicated to other websites. This is a non-commercial site and it's all Creative Commons, and we're hoping to get others to use it. And the way we put that hope is to write a little set of code snippets that are on our website, which anyone who's interested in CMS and the markup language problem can go grab those snippets and put them on their site. Now that could be, at the moment it's someone like Paola Di Maio in London, has it on her site at Content Wire. Joe Stewart has it on at CMS Info. Frank Gilbane has it on at this Gilbane Report. I'm hopeful that we'll get others to put it on their sites, because what they do is advise people about content management. And when they put it on their site, we will have it appearing in so many places that maybe the vendors will say, we can't afford not to be putting data into the CMS database and having it fed out in CMS ML. So that's the concept. And maybe we should turn it around to questions or problems where you're going. I'll just say one more thing about Bob's involvement. As I say, it began with OSCOM, with their software ML effort. Gregor Rothfuss was the editor, and Gregor asked me to take over the editorial on it as we exchanged notes on how to do the XML. And we've been through 5.5 revs of the XML at the OSCOM site. We can maybe find that back here. There we are. No, that's OS. Let's try window. OSCOM CMS selection. OSCOM CMS ML. If you scroll down in the markup language page, you'll see that we've been having a give and take with people involved in criticizing it, and we're up to a 0.5. And Gregor and I are editors with Bob here and other people from OSCOM is still involved in the project. We invite anyone else who would like to participate. And as we explained already, we output both XML, RDF, and we export Dave Weiner's OPML. And we're working with a fellow named Peter Van Dyke, who has created a concept called Exchangeable Metadata Faceted Language. He's in this area of knowledge management, and he says on his website when he saw this, oh wow, I've been wanting to do something like this for a few years, and now somebody's done it. Basically, given him an engine that can feed his markup language and see if it works in the world. And we are very much at this point, sorrily to say, not a consumer of these advanced technologies, but we do want to be a producer of them so other people could try things. So we haven't implemented that yet. But exchangeable faceted metadata is something that we'll be able to feed out in his markup language format. And he may then make some wonderful visualization tools or comparison tools we don't really know. But we're hoping to work with all of those other people. So I wanted to just say that beyond the features descriptions, which we're very strong on, there is another whole look at things that Bob Boyko's approach is interested in, and that is evaluation, which is a challenge for you university people who stayed in here. How do you really evaluate sites? That is a very difficult thing to do, but Bob and other top vendor neutral consultants have their important questions that they ask about a CMS. And Bob's goal is to get those questions, let him speak for himself, into somewhere that you can use them as a reference. And I would hope to work with him and find a way to store it in a similar system. Now, it doesn't have to be located at CMS Review. It may be a federated system that actually runs off the University of Washington iSchool servers, and we will be jointly working to some similar format or standard, and that would be a great place to go. But that's about where we're going, and maybe we'll just open it up for questions. Or you'd like to say another word or two about where we're going? Bob? Is that thing switched on at the bottom? Try a little switch there. Try.
Well, I can talk without this.
Yeah, you can, but it's going to get on the recording a lot better if we get something live. Here we go.
Just real briefly about the work that we're doing at the University of Washington. The idea we have is to create a common shared set of evaluative questions concerning content management systems, and the features and functionality that Bob Doyle has put together is obviously part of that. We've been collaborating with a number of people, Tony and others, to gather all of the questions that anyone has thought of to ask about a content management system and bring them all together in one place. And then create a faceting system that will allow us to categorize those in any way possible. The end game here is not for us to own that. The end game is for us to turn that open and allow people to contribute to that, add questions and add classification as they come up with things that they've thought of, and then have some system whereby questions and classification schemes bubble up to the top of the list. based on how useful people have found them. So that's our goal. We'll be working on that through the coming year, and hopefully by the end of the year, you guys will see some results from that.
Very good. Say one more thing about Frank Gilbane, who hasn't come, but Frank has just published the latest issue of his Gilbane Report. Some of you who've just come in may not have gotten one yet. And it has a description of the project as a work in progress. You get one of those, Gregor. Gregor Rothfuss has just joined us, my co-editor at the original CMS, began as software ML project, now it's a CMS ML project, and you've got one. So Frank has put together, we drafted up this thing together with Gregor, saying what it is we're trying to do, and we're working toward a sort of deliverable milestone this fall at the Siebold Seminars, which is the world's leading kind of publishing conference, where Frank Gilbane runs the Gilbane Conference on CMS. And at that time, Bob and I will get back together and tell people where we've gotten by September in terms of what Bob has structured in getting those great questions that people are asking. And we're going to colleagues in the field and saying, what would you like to contribute to this effort? And get the sense that the consultant community wants to be trying to get on message, what's important about content management. And from my side, the reason I'm so feature-oriented is my background is as an editor during the 1990s for New Media Magazine, where I reviewed all the leading digital video editing systems. That's why I'm a big video editing guy and cameraman here for the OSCOM conference. My goal is to capture this conference and turn it into video that's on the web that people can learn from later. Sort of my approach and the approach with CMS Review is to capture information about books and articles, websites, trade shows, that you can then go to one place to start with, okay? That's my goal. But being a new media editor, I came up with a tool for the magazine. In the days of doing reviews of multiple products, we used to have to send out faxes to the companies and have them fill in the blanks. Well, you know, how many times did it come back saying, is that a 7 or a 1? And then you're on the phone, you know? So I came up with an online database where the vendors just had a permission to edit. And maybe we can go and take a brief look at that. The vendors would have a permission that says, I want to change this. Let's do this comparison one more time. And suppose I'm now typo 3 and Jennifer's the user. And she says, Bob, why didn't you include whatever we left out that they didn't get in there? The answer is the answer is this edit button right here. When we hit the edit button, we get challenged, and if we can pass a login somehow, you know, each editor has permission only to edit their own products. That's the way we did it back at New Media, and it worked pretty well. I've got a kind of a administrative level, so I can edit anybody's products, and I really should be someone, maybe a few people will get appointed to have czar mode, you know, or master mode, and go in and take out any total exaggerations. But here I am able to edit this product. Now, this is what we did back at New Media. Now, so you see typo 3, these are the things they've checked and entered. And if they need to be different, you just check them and enter them here, send it home, and the next time we do a directory, faceted directory search, they'll show up where we wanted them to be. Let me just see if I can show you where we did that feature directory. Maybe it's still open. And those of you who came in just a little bit late, you see that what we did was we said we wanted to know operating systems and those with online demos and then what licenses they had. And we made that as our faceted directory. And Gregor, I don't know whether you've seen this. Have you had a chance to see this yet?
Briefly.
Okay, good. Maybe everybody's then on the wavelength. See, I clicked and it went back to operating system as my first choice. And then I could add other choices from among those parameters that are discrete, have discrete values. If the answer is a text box, it doesn't come into here. But if it has choices, we show the choices and let people build their own directory and taxonomy of things. So that's the underlying technology, and we've made quite a bit of progress by this OSCOM. And this is showing up on the OSCOM site, and as I said, several other sites. and we hope to take it out to many others who'd like to join us in the future. Make your job of finding the systems you want to study a little easier. So, questions? Yeah? Anybody? Yes, in the back? Here, come on. Is this one working? Come on up here.
Hi there, Stephen Gettner with Crown Peak Technology. Just wanted to ask a quick question about the CMS review in particular. Is this something that has been out recently, or has this
been... Yeah, it's basically brand new and being...
It's brand new.
I've been talking about it only to colleagues in the industry, and no publicity of any kind, but we would like to, at some point, you know, I would much like this to be... viewed by others in the field as supporting their efforts. But there are some things I do that maybe they are doing already, and I don't want them to feel hurt by the fact that we're making more information available more quickly and more cheaply. So I'm slowly building it out, one at a time, emailing and phoning all the people around, and seeing if they'll embrace the idea that we can collaborate on this project. Now, when you say CMS review as opposed to OSCOM, OSCOM being open source, we had a discussion there, they had a discussion. They voted not to put proprietary CMS on the OSCOM site. So if you run my search mode, or my at least my listing mode, it doesn't list the proprietary. And I argued, no, I'd rather be, and there's some who voted with me, we should be, as open source products, winning on the merits, not on the fact that we're filtering out the other guys. And so I can answer your question from yesterday. What do we know about Crown Peak? Okay, if I was on OSCOM and I pull down this compare box, I wouldn't find Advantage. But because I'm on CMS Review, where I'm trying to look at everybody, I do have a hosted ASP solution, and so I can compare you to Easy Publish. Now, I don't know, or I compare you to who else? Maybe Adam Z is a competitor in your area. And so now I can do something you may or may not want to like have happen, but people are going to want to do that to you. Oops, I'm sorry. Let's compare Adam Z to Advantage. Two products in the ASP
it's
area.
It's not really a comparison, but you know, thanks for doing it anyhow. So.
Pardon me?
Go right ahead.
Go
the
right
feature
ahead.
Set is, there is no comparison. So
you can't
I don't
stop
think there's going
to
be a problem. I'm not going to not like the result, so I'm actually going to like this kind of a search.
Okay. What I want you to do is to recognize that you have control over at the moment over what it says under Crown Peak.
Looking at this from a vendor perspective, I think this is fantastic. I love seeing this. I'm really excited about sort of getting in there and getting the information as up to date as possible. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we face a lot is there is just a tremendous amount of noise in terms of the CMS systems out there.
Understandable.
As so previously many. Noted, Google has something 500 or so different categories within the CMS as vendors, and oh, goodness sake, if you're starting out in this, to go down 500 elements, it's just absolutely insane.
Exactly.
So using a tool like this, you definitely get to the main points much, much mm-hmm. quicker. And certainly all the vendors are really going to appreciate something like this. So
I hope so. Thank
as long
you.
As you have nothing to hide. So.
Okay. Well, I can see right away that if I want to do Microsoft's SQL Server, you're the guy to go to. And you also have Enterprise here instead of General, which suggests Adam Z is maybe shooting for more of a corporate or departmental level activity, and you're shooting for the bigger picture. That's whether that's an accurate view or not, I've got to lean to the guys who really know the business. I am a technologist who's come in and I'm trying to build a tool that works in this area, and I'm hopeful that I'll get a lot of other people to cooperate in the process. I need them to guide me, and I need users to guide us, to come back up and say, I wish something else was included in here, but this is a work in process.
Yeah, I mean, just in summary, it's a great site. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Maybe I can ask you guys a question. We have this theory that if you ask these characteristic questions about a CMS to vendors only, you'll get what vendors want to put in there. If you ask them to experts only, you'll get that perspective. And kind of the working hypothesis we have going here is if you ask it to a whole variety of people, including people who are users, people who are consultant types, people who are vendor types, maybe people who are independent software developers or whatever, that you'll get a wide enough variety of answers that some sort of higher truth will emerge there. And I'm interested in knowing if you guys believe that, And if you do, how do you think you accomplish that?
Mark Laporte from Tiki. First thing I'd like to congratulate for this initiative, because when I started, you know, looking around, it was very complicated, and I think anybody who tried, it's a bit difficult. I think one of the things that's going to happen is that each feature, just because somebody says it has, for example, a workflow, it doesn't say how good the workflow is. It could be a really, really basic workflow, or it could be a very advanced workflow. What I would suggest in maybe a next version, an improvement, is for each feature is to have two links associated towards the vendor's website, where they could have one link would be a demo to the working feature, and another link would be directly to the documentation on that feature. So for example, if I use a faceted directory and I'm interested in five things, I'll choose the five things, and then at the end I might have 30 different candidates. Then maybe by reputation or whatever, I'm going to single out, you know, a top 10. And then from that top 10, I can easily go directly and compare what the documentation is for the workflow for these 10 projects, and then see what the demo. And I think that would be, like, from a shopper's perspective, that would be really the ideal. And I think also, you know, if some projects don't have proper documentation, well, it's gonna show there, and I think it's gonna be an incentive for people to categorize properly and to explain properly what they're about. So those would be my suggestions and additions.
Derek, remind me. That's very good. I like a great challenge, because I don't know how many companies have documentation at all that could possibly be probed with an XPath to say, I'm interested in metadata, or I'm interested in workflow. What a challenge, but it's a great vision, because if the world was that organized, we'd all be a lot, we'd be very well off. One thing that struck me when you said that is the concept of what, again, going back to library science and taxonomy, information systems, there's the underlying vocabulary of what everyone calls everything. And I'm very interested in language, always have been, and it's a wonderful slippery thing. Ambiguity makes it possible for me to talk and you to hear me. There are people who thought otherwise, that we would build languages which were ambiguity-free, notably Leibniz, the great philosopher, who, along with Newton, did work out the math of the world in a marvelous way. But the math of the world is not the way humans work, and it's the way machines work, though. And so there's, like, will the web do this? I sometimes feel Tim Berners-Lee's been a bit infected by Noam Chomsky and the MIT people, who believe that the deep structure of language is somehow to be found, and it'll be like a Newton's laws if you could just get down there. And maybe they think, ah, this applies to the web too, there's a deep structure of the web. No, no, the web is just wide open, wildly different from place to place. So it's a challenge, and that challenge is met in controlled vocabulary work, frequently by introducing the concept of a preferred term. And if we can get vendors to use the preferred term, we're going to be a long way along. I don't mind if they want variant terms, but our little technology will try to let them put their variant in. Beyond that, if we have, and we do have, under each feature, and ultimately when Bob's questions are all in here, I actually just have a token pointer to them at the moment. You see, these are the categories largely derived by mapping over from Bob's book. But if I was to take, say, in his book, the concept of a next version or a binding agreement, I might not know what a binding agreement was. And so the challenge is on Bob and his researchers not only to define this thing that we're going to describe, but have a deep description of it, and then there'll be a link which will let this particular vendor say, I don't agree with Bob. Let's go back up to something like license policy or number of installs. They want to quarrel about that. They may want to qualify that, and we will allow them to have their own variation. Now, Derek, remind me, I'm in the editing interface, so if I click on something here, I get a window that lets the vendor, because I'm in here as a vendor, edit something else into it, right, as an alternative? Just click the description link, like CMS type. Suppose they don't want to be in a box that says general or enterprise. Forms autofill, no. Okay, so what comes up a little window, now we haven't written the general one yet, I apologize, it's a work in progress, but if there was a description in here for what CMS type was, this vendor could say, no, I want to be here, but they can put their ifs, their ands, and their buts in, and maybe that's a chance for them to get it a little richer and into the human communication space that we're after. Because I view the computer not as an artificial intelligence. For 50 years now, I've watched the promise of artificial intelligence coming along, and every time anybody builds anything that's artificially intelligent, they stop calling it intelligent and they start calling it an expert system or something, where the computer is just an assistant for us to do something. And so I have now learned all I'm doing is building a computer assistant to us figuring out what we'd like to know. Back in the back of the room, and where's the second
actually,
mic?
I have the mic already, sir. Yeah. If three quick points or so, ask some questions. Can we, as vendors, speaking from a vendor point of view, suggest different categories? Because I've noticed,
yes,
so
absolutely.
we can make those suggestions.
Yes.
Number two is I'd probably recommend a ranking of the
That's
feature.
That's very dangerous.
Going back to the gentleman from Wiki's recommendation, because when you say workflow, there's bad workflow and then there's really good workflow. And if you're going to compare one to the other, it might be useful, just a suggestion.
This is where my technology, I slip into the water off the ice and I have to hand it off to people who know this industry well, and they engage in advice to people.
Absolutely.
Can this tool be grown to include this sort of stuff? We don't know yet.
And last point, since coming from the commercial sector, we know that most people are incredibly visual. So if you could include as many screenshots as possible within each of these feature sets, I think people would get a lot more out of that. I know Tony does that in his report, which is really helpful. It allows him to visualize what do you mean by workflow.
Excellent. So it builds on what Mark was saying. I don't want to just say workflow. Show me your
screen
where there are roles and permissions
and
who gets it next, bump it up to graphics and down. Yep. Show me the screens.
Yeah.
Of course, Tony does an excellent job at that. But he's only, when you're doing it in a print report, here we have a chance maybe to expand it in the web and with vendors' cooperation. Yeah, we'll push it out there. And you could greatly help us there.
Thank you.
Yes,
if I could comment just briefly on the...
time is getting short, by the way. I know we want to leave room for people to go grab a bite before 1:30, so say two more questions.
Yeah, I wanted to comment just real briefly about the idea of evaluations. I think at least my group at the UW is very conscious of what it means to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And I think we have a fair amount of humility about that. That whose opinion is it that this particular kind of workflow is good workflow? And B, who are we to nail workflow down so far that you can give an absolute scale? Having said that, I'm sure there's all sorts of people who would be happy to give opinions about that. And I think if you're going to be sort of the central clearinghouse for information, then your job is not to have an opinion, but to allow a variety of people to express their opinions, and then let people choose among whose opinion they want to trust. And so I would take that up to sort of a meta level and say, it's not up to us to have opinions, but it is up to us to host opinions.
Yeah, sounds good to me. One more question?
I have a question. It's a good idea to do screenshots, but I would probably put the onus on the vendor because you can only put so much information in your thing and keep it accurate.
Well, we can be the links and they can be the bandwidth.
Exactly, because you don't want to be the big brochure. I would recommend maybe putting dates on when they were last updated, their currency.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And another feature you might maybe go with is the Amazon sort of thing. So many people found this review helpful, and some people might say, you know, it was useful, but I really didn't need to know X. And that gives feedback to the vendor to say, I need to flesh out this paragraph.
Sounds good. Sounds very good. But Derek is writing very fast. He's the guy who programs it.
And my one question is, going back to the SARS building, is how you're going to negotiate the defining of the terms. I mean, obviously, a good thesaurus comes from the community in common use parlance.
Right.
But at some point you need editors to take a stand on it. Yep. And
if you look into this Gilbane report thing, we took a shot at it.
I
what
read
we
that.
Need is feedback, and so we need criticism and feedback, and That's where we're hoping we'll refine it.
And I have one technical question. When a vendor chooses not to be one of the above and do a custom thing, does that affect how they will be pulled up in the ratings?
I don't do ratings yet.
Well, not ratings, but I say...
Where they could be found.
You had general features.
Yes.
And if that's my primary category and I choose 1 through 5, but they didn't have one of those,
yeah.
Does that mean they're in danger of not being pulled up at all?
That's a question I'd like to think about how to solve. It's a good question. Let's just say we try to think about that. We don't want them to drop out of the bucket as a result. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer, but I...
Because a lot of that stuff is... It depends.
Well,
it's like, do you support X?
When Ron Gunathan did his work, he had a vision.
I have read his articles.
Okay. His vision was of an ability to describe different features, and he thought those features could be exhaustive. He'd find all the features that were needed. He was a wonderful idealist. He also thought that meant what we call in mathematics completeness, that if you know some math, you have vector theory, vector basis theory, you have... question of whether the vectors span the entire space and we can describe the entire universe here. I'm an astrophysicist from Harvard here. And the answer is you cannot do this in language. Language, you can't, these are dreams we can't quite get to, those outer limits. So we know our limits, and as Bob says, we're going to try to work with people to work out the best questions. But when you say, will someone drop out, that's Ranganathan's dream of completeness. And so we need a thing that does catch everybody. And